In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who received him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. John testifies concerning him. He cries out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' From the fullness of his grace, we have all received one blessing after another. For the law was given through Moses, grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God, but God, the one and only, who is at the Father's side, has made him known."
Congregation, beloved of the Lord Jesus, as I came here this morning, God gave me the opening for this message. I had another opening, but I think the message I got this morning as I drove over here was very fitting. Because although you don't probably realise it, everywhere west of Pennant Hills Road this morning is clothed in incredibly opaque fog. You cannot see your hand in front of your face. And it's only because I came up the motorways that I could drive at anywhere near the prescribed speed limit. Now, I'm not saying the western suburbs are in darkness and the eastern suburbs are in glorious light. The thing that struck me as I was coming across this morning is that we see the world sometimes in fog, but most times in glorious light. But in God's sight, this world is clothed in darkness, in the darkness of sin. We live in a fallen world. And despite all the glitz and the glamour and the wonder of his creation and all of the created things that surround us, nevertheless, this world is a world of darkness, spiritual darkness. And I'd like you to keep that in mind as we go through this morning, as we see that God's light is our calling. God's light is our calling. This morning I just want to make three bullet points. Three points. And then have you do some work in terms of applying that for yourselves. For our text this morning is taken from John chapter 8 and verse 12. Those amazing, wonderful words of the Lord Jesus when he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." That is our text this morning. When Christ comes to us and he says to us again this morning, "I am the light of the world." And the promise that he makes this morning is whoever follows him will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. That is an amazing, glorious gospel promise. You recall it from when we read in our reading just a moment ago in John chapter 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Proclaiming the divinity of the Christ. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not understood it. And so God is saying to us this morning that he has sent his own dear Son, born of the Virgin, into this world of darkness, and it is Christ and Christ alone who is true light. It is Christ and Christ alone who is the life of mankind. Only Christ is true light. And the promise that is there, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. So we should take this very deeply within our hearts this morning, that if you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, if you are a follower of the Lord Jesus, despite the darkness and the blindness of your own heart and mind and life in and of your natural self, God has placed into you and into your heart the light of life. By the regenerating and renewing power of his Holy Spirit, he causes his people to be born again, to be given new life in Christ. And so although in many ways we don't look very different to the people all around us, we have the light of life as a gift from Almighty God. And so there's our text in John chapter 8. I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. One of the magnificent things I think about the Lord Jesus, when you read his word, he makes radical statements. Jesus, and to use the vernacular, please don't be offended, but Jesus doesn't muck around. He doesn't pussyfoot around. He's the creator of the world, which has fallen into darkness, and then he comes and he says, "I am the light of the world." And we know there's no other way to the Father except through him. He said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Jesus makes radical claims. And he can do that, of course, because he is God. He is the Almighty. Over in chapter 9, when Jesus, that incident where there was the man blind from birth, you may remember it, the disciple said, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" And that's a whole another sermon. We won't go there this morning. But this is what Jesus said. "Well, neither this man or his parents sinned. This happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Now, just for a moment, put yourselves in the shoes of that man, born blind. He would have been ridiculed, criticized. His parents would have been given a hard time because in those days they thought, well, this has happened for some reason. Either he's done something really bad or his parents have done something really bad. And the whole criticism and the judgment would have been poured upon him. And then this man Jesus comes and he heals his blindness. His darkness is gone. And the man sees. And Jesus says, I am the light of the world. It must have been staggeringly brilliant beyond our comprehension of how this impacted the heart and the life of that man. Blind, without hope, Jesus comes, heals him, and says, I am the light of the world. And in that healing, he displays his divine power and authority. So that's our first point. We've got three bullet points, I said. The first point is Jesus is God's light to the world. Second point, believers are enlightened. I don't mean this in a historic sense in terms of the enlightenment of the 18th and 19th centuries. I'm talking about the fact that you and I, as believers in the Lord Jesus, have had our darkness taken away, our blindness taken away, and that we are enlightened. Over in chapter 12, when Jesus was predicting his death, he said to the people around him, and the crowd was speaking to him, and said, he said, you are going to have the light just a little longer. He's talking about himself, obviously. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. We just go on to the next verse from that. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. So again, let's just... The original context is there, and we know that Jesus was only on the earth for a relatively short period. But I want us to just look at that last section. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. So that you may become sons and daughters, children of light. I have to pause and ask you, is that how you see yourself? Is that how I see myself? This is what God is saying. And if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, he is saying it about you. The Apostle Paul wrote about it in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6. And the context there is that Paul's been talking about the glory of the new covenant and compared to the old and the new, and Moses with his face being veiled and the glory fading and all of those things. And then he says in chapter 4 and verse 6, God, the God who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. We're going to come back to this verse in a moment. But just notice for now, the Creator, the God who is recorded in Genesis 1, said, let light shine out of the darkness. And I think that's a prefiguring of the work of Christ right back there, if you want to go into the Christology of Genesis chapter 1. The Creator God recreates his people in the Lord Jesus, and he's made his gospel light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The Apostle Peter wrote something slightly different in chapter 2 and verse 9. He says, you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. So there again, from Peter's hand, inspired by the same Spirit, we see at the end of that verse, the one who called us out of darkness into His wonderful light. So that's the second point, the believers being enlightened. Let's have a look. We go further. Jesus, God's light to the world. Believers are enlightened. In the third place, believers are to be bearers of light. You and I are to be bearers of light. Recall the words, those majestic words of the Lord Jesus in Matthew chapter 5. We call it the Sermon on the Mount. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand. It gives light to everyone in the house. You are the light of the world. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. How amazing that is, brothers and sisters, that the God of all majesty and all glory, the God of all power and all authority, who at his time sent the Christ into the world to be the light of the world, and he conquered darkness and sin and shame and guilt on the cross with his once for all sacrifice, that that same Jesus has returned to the right hand of the Father, the Spirit has been poured out upon the church, and then God gives to people like you and me the privilege and the responsibility of being bearers of that gospel light, who is Jesus. God's light, our calling. That's why we're here. That's why we are here. So that we may let our light shine before mankind so that they may see our good deeds and praise our Father in heaven. Peter put it, we'll go back to that verse in Peter, we're chosen people, royal priesthood, holy nation, people belonging to God. See, those things, we drink them in and we say, yes, Lord, thank you, that's wonderful, we're a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. Lord, it's fantastic that we belong to you. But why? It's for His glory that you may proclaim the praises of Him who called you out of darkness into His glorious light. That's why you and I are here. To bear the light of the Christ. So we just see those three points again. Jesus, God's light to the world. I think these three points are just irrefutable. I could take them to any classes exam and I'd pass. Believers are enlightened. And believers are to be bearers of light. It's Mother's Day. My mum's in her mid-80s. A lot of difference between mid-80s and late-80s, apparently. And if you would talk to my mum, and you probably will never have the privilege of doing that, and if she knew I was talking about her down here in Sydney, she would have a fit, which would then, my ears would be boxed, so to speak. If you ask my mum what's her greatest regret, 85 years of living, now obviously, she's a lovely lady and all, but she's a sinful human being, same as all of us. So, you know, there's a lot of things we might like to go back and correct. So if you would ask my mum, what's your greatest regret? I'll tell you categorically, because she's told me many times. She said that I didn't tell you boys more about Jesus. That I didn't tell you boys more about Jesus. Now, I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were godly, fiercely committed to the life of the church. Dad served as an elder many times. But in my growing up, there wasn't a lot of talk about Jesus. It was sort of talk about God. It was sort of general, sort of, you know. And as my mum's come into the latter years of her life and she's reflected on things, I think she's got a lot to teach me. I think she's got a lot to teach you. Because I'm here to tell you this morning, that the greatest thing that you can do for any other human being, the greatest above all things, is to tell them about him who is the light of the world. Let's just look at the verse we had before, from 2 Corinthians chapter 4. The Creator who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. The light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the person and work of Jesus Christ. So I have to ask myself, and I ask you, how is the state of your light bearing? And I'll be honest, I'll put my hand up. All too often, my light's buried in the fog. The fog of my own desires, the fog of my own pleasures, the fog of whatever, whatever, my own busyness, my own self-absorption, my own whatever. My daughter, who's entered into her 40s now, I'm glad she's not here either, I'd cop it for that too, that she says to me, "Dad, there was only one Messiah." And it's her way of saying, "Dad, you're taking yourself far too seriously. It's not about you, Dad. It's about Jesus." So what are the ways that you and I can shine that light for the glory of God more clearly? That's a question you have to answer. I can't answer that for you. And I think it's brilliant that we belong to a denomination. I'm big raps for the Christian Reformed Churches of Australia. But we're not perfect, because I'm part of it. But we're not perfect. But in our denomination, God is giving you multiple opportunities to shine the light of Christ into the darkness of the world. I had a bit of a look up on your notice board, a bit of a sticky beak, some of the things you're involved in. All these opportunities, these ministry opportunities that God is giving us that comes under the umbrella of our denomination even. You know, all these, well, you don't do second offerings, so I can't, you do a 10% off your regular offering. And Zudi explained it to me, but it's a bit hard for me to understand these things. Every time you give, you are advancing the cause of Christ. Every time you pray, you advance the cause of Christ. And now I refer to my mum, because she's in her mid-80s and in an aged person's complex. She doesn't have an aged person's complex, she just lives in one. She said, "Bob, I can't do a lot." And every time, I just come back with the straight answer. Clean bowler every time. "Mum, you can pray. Mum, you can pray." And she does. She prays for St. Mary's every day. Probably because she feels sorry for them that I'm their pastor. But you can pray. Every day. Every day you can pray. You can give. You can participate. You can love. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. So I'm I don't like being in other people's churches because sometimes I might do something that creates a ruckus and then the poor bloke, he's got to clean it up afterwards. But it's Zudema, so I don't care. I know you're going to listen to this, Zudy. That was for you. Love you, brother. But what is it? I mean this very lovingly. What is it about us as reformed people that we are so... Yeah, raise the eyebrows. What word am I going to say? Am I going to say dull? I don't mean we're stupid. Our witness, you know, our the vibrancy of the joy of knowing God in Christ. Brothers and sisters, we need to let that shine more. We need to let that flow more. And I know we've got all different characters and different cultural backgrounds, and I've heard all the arguments for 40 years. I'm over them because the gospel transcends culture. It's just not going to cut it. If I stand before God and say, well, Lord, I would have got a bit more full on for you, I would have shined it. But I'm from Scottish background. We don't do those sorts of things. Rubbish. You have had, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus, you have had your sins forgiven. You are liberated. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's what the Word says. That's what God tells us. And brothers and sisters, surely the glory of the gospel has got to fire us and lift us and enable us to a vibrancy of Christian witness which is commensurate with the grace of God in the gospel. I know that's probably going to sound like I'm criticizing. I don't want to be criticizing. But I know categorically that our churches have not yet reached the fullness of their redemptive potential. And I know for a fact, even though I don't hardly know any of you, that you have not reached your full redemptive potential. I know for a fact that my mum, who I love, and has had a magnificent Christian ministry in many ways, my mum hasn't reached the fullness of her redemptive potential. There is always room for us to grow. Always space for us to shine. Always. And we start at home. In our families, and the ripples go out. Let's have a look at this. Paul wrote in Philippians, shine like stars in the universe as you hold out the word of life. That's why we're here, to hold out the word of life. God's calling. I am not my own. I belong body and soul to my faithful Savior Jesus Christ, fully paid for all my sins, set me free from the tyranny of the devil. And then we say, Lord, here am I. Use me. And he does. Currently, Sandy and I have two grandsons living with us, a 21-year-old and a 14-year-old. So it's a bit of a challenge for Sandy, having an old rooster and two young roosters in the house at the same time. But my grandsons play those computer games. I personally don't like them, but their mother says it's okay if they play them. And so the other day, the boys showed me something on some computer game they're playing. They said, have a look at this, Grandad. And here's a map of the world. A map of the world. Like flat. And then they moved the mouse over different countries. And all bits of light came on the different countries. It was staggering. And do you know what it was? It was where people were playing this jolly computer game. Now, me being a cynical old bloke I am, I more or less said, oh no, this is just a marketing tool, boys. No, they're just having you on, making you think you're something big. They said, no, Grandad, this is true. Then they showed me right across the face of the globe. I forget the figures. 2.5 million people in the state of New York playing this jolly game, or whatever it was. And I was blown away. But then I thought, that's how God sees the world. The world's in darkness, lost in sin. And he is given into the hands and into the hearts and into the minds of the lives of his people his glorious gospel light. And he says, now you shine for me. And God looks down, as it were, upon his earth. And every time you love, and every time you serve, there's the light. And God is glorified. So, let's go from this place, knowing that we belong to him. Knowing that he's enlightened us. And knowing that our main calling in life is to shine for him. So, you shine in your small corner, and I will in mine. Let's pray. Lord, it's staggeringly amazing for us that you have called us out of darkness into your glorious light. It's an act of incredible mercy and grace that you do not count our sins against us because of Jesus. And this morning, as you've reminded us again that he is the light of the world and that in him believers are given true light and then called to share and to shine that light. Oh God, we ask that you would take us and use us as your servants. Lord, you know the circumstances of each and every one of our lives. You know our regrets. You know our fears. You know our joys. You know the blessings. And Father, we pray that you would take us and that you would continue to use us to shine the glorious light of the gospel of the Lord Jesus into the darkness of this world that surrounds us. So Father, take us and use us for your praise and for your glory, we ask it. In Jesus' name, Amen.